Welcome to One in the Sun with James and Hannah Hubbard from the Portland Church Connection. Today, they'll deal with issues important to the body and bride of Christ, the Christian life, unity, the prophetic, and the written word of God. Now, here's James and Hannah.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Hello, Portland. We're here this time with Hannah, my wife.
Yeah, good to be with everybody again. Be blessed.
Yes, back with us. And here's James Autry, former station manager extraordinaire.
It's good to be here with you again. Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, we're glad that you're here. And we have an actual subject matter this time that's very easily defined, but also very tricky to define. So I'm going to mention that it's revival, Christian revival, and the interaction with that and prayer. And sort of, there's a lot of questions. I don't want to say a lot of questions all at once, but just imagine these images. The Jesus movement. You've seen movies about the Jesus movement. You've been part of it, many of you. And that's part of the revival. There's the first and second Great Awakening. That's considered revival. There's prayer and prayer meetings. I was at an all-night prayer meeting, and they said, this is revival. We're having revival. And maybe they're all right. So all correct. There's different fruits that come from revival. You can see revival as part of a seven-step process, like first repentance, then revival, then nationwide reform and restoration and reclaiming the nation. And then you can think of a greater revelation of Jesus Christ is certainly revival in our thinking and in our life, and reconciliation, national reconciliation, racial reconciliation. That's all maybe fruits of revival. So there's a lot of ways of looking at it, and to totally grasp it, we have an expert on prayer, and also a person that's very interested in revival and the things of revival. So I'm just going to ask James to take it away with the beginning of what is revival and are we in it?
Well, that's a great question, and I just want to say thank you again for letting me be a part of your broadcast.
You're welcome.
It's been a while since I've been on the air, so I've been doing a lot of things behind the scenes and working with a lot of city leaders and business leaders, and it's been a lot of fun. And also, I just want to thank you for showing up. We started prayer walking downtown Portland on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. And anybody that's listening, welcome to join us. We'll prayer walk a little bit, and then we'll go eat some breakfast together and fellowship together. But y'all have been pretty consistent with joining us every Saturday morning.
And it's a big place there, and you can find it. There's a statue of a man with an umbrella holding up his hand, or and a finger on his hand, pointing. That's where we'll be at about 7 o'clock.
Yep, and so. I love it. It's dark when we start out, but we just stand and pray together and get a little feeling where we should be going, and it's been so blessed. I mean, I think we feel like we are on a certain assignment, and I know James calls us a special name, and it is exciting to be praying for our city.
Yes,
specifically.
Well, the Lord gave me this name, SWAT. You know, we know what a SWAT team is. It goes in and rescues somebody or helps a situation out. Well, the word SWAT, S-W-A-T, in this particular case, the Lord said, I want you to see what agreement transforms. See what agreement transforms. So our SWAT team every Saturday morning is going out, and we're agreeing with what God wants to see happen, with where we're at, what we're touching, where God is sending us that particular morning. And we just want to see God's kingdom come. We want to see what revival looks like in our day. There's various expressions of revival over the many years, since the very beginning of creation. When God shows up, whoa, he brings revival. He brings life. He brings love wherever he shows up. And that's what the essence of what revival is all about. I keep hearing this scripture in my head that is ringing. It's saying that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Not who, but that. He didn't come just to redeem mankind. He came to redeem everything, all of creation, everything that was lost after the fall. And that which was lost was him with us, walking with us in the cool of the day, him showing up, him being welcome here, him being comfortable to stick around rather than the Holy Spirit being quenched and him saying, okay, I'll come back when you're ready. And so what we're contending for, what we're really wanting to see is God's presence dwelling, God's presence coming and being a part of life that we do together, because he designed this entire universe and this planet for us to experience life with him and set all that up together to experience life with him, not to live life without him. And that's what it's all about, is with him.
Right.
And so that's what we're contending for, and that's what we're wanting to see that manifested more and more and more in the various places that we are praying, that we are agreeing with God. Because God told me many years ago, he said, stop crying out to me like a baby. And that's what children do. Babies can't help it. They cry. Stop begging like a toddler, because that's what toddlers do. They're always, you know, wanting this, wanting that, wanting this, wanting that. He said, stop asking me like a teenager. And there's times when you need to ask, but then teenagers have the habit of asking all the time. And he said, I want you to agree with me like a son. Wow. And the power of that is overwhelming. And that's what sons do. That's what daughters do. They want to say, Papa, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do here? Not what do I want? Not, you know, just badgering the father, you know, and not just crying out. And there's times when that happens in prayer, but the prayer that changes things, the prayer that God really loves to respond to, is agreement. And that's what I believe faith means. God's taking me through this journey of understanding what faith is and what hope is, and faith is agreement. It's actually coming to fully agree with what God has said in that situation. And as you apply that agreement, it's like your foot on the gas pedal. You know, all you got to do is press the gas pedal. The gas in the car, in the engine in the car, gets you to the top of the mountain. And all your part is just pressing the gas. And the Lord said to me a couple Sundays ago, back in August, he said, floor it, son.
<You know>? So good.
Press that gas pedal. My engine and the fuel that I've got in my car is going to get you to that destination, to the top of that mountain. Just floor it. Just agree with me. And I will get you there. And so that's been what we've been praying for and contending about. We've had meetings here, actually since November of last year, we've been meeting every other week just to pray with leaders. And then we started meeting and coming together with some prayer gatherings, and then now launching these prayer walks. And so they are very strategic. A good friend of ours, Ed Savoso, has been doing this around the world and has prayer walked and adopted streets all over the world. And I had the chance of meeting with him a couple of years ago down in San Jose, and then going to his conference in Hawaii. And then he just had his conference again just recently in San Jose again this year. But I want to share with you what they've been doing and what the potential is for here in Portland, just to kind of give you a snippet. We asked or we talked about earlier before the show, you know, what is revival? Everybody going to church or no crime in the city? Well, it's both, you know, but we can't stay at church all day, but people have to live life and go on, and it'd be great if that happens without crime.
You wouldn't have any crime if they're in church all day.
That's true, too. But in Newark, New Jersey, it was the murder capital of the world, and then God gave an intercessor a plan, and these people began to adopt a street, and they began to pray daily. When 33% of the streets of Newark, New Jersey were adopted, crime went down 33%.
Wow.
When 80% of the streets were adopted in Newark, New Jersey, crime went down 80%.
Hmm.
It really works.
That is good.
When 100% of all the streets were adopted in Newark, New Jersey, there were no murders for 40 plus days. It was the murder capital of America. Wow. This is the first time in decades the economy turned around, business turned around, the city returned to life. They put forth this initiative of adopting a street or adopting a cop. They got strategies for saturating the city with prayer and laying spiritual foundations for transformation. It was amazing what was happening. And that's just a simple strategy that Ed's been doing around the world. Ed went to Multnomah University here, and he's Luis Palau's brother-in-law. their wives are sisters. And he has this worldwide ministry, and God's taught him these biblical principles for 50 years, how the disciples turned the world upside down. And so there's some very simple strategies that we're beginning to introduce and bring to bear here in the Pacific Northwest to say, guys, if they can do it here, why, you know, over there, why can't we do it here? You know,
right. Amen.
You know, one strategy that's been happening in New York that I learned about years ago was back in 1995, churches would take one day a month, and they got 30 churches to take one day a month. And they just fasted and prayed for that one day. And, you know, the crime rate dropped 40% when they did that. And Rudy Giuliani got all the credit for the, you know, crime dropping in New York. But it was actually the church was praying.
Yeah.
And then during 9/11, they could have easily lost, you know, 30,000 people in all the buildings that worked in all the buildings there. Mm-hmm. But they only lost 3,000. And why was that? Because the church had been praying since 1995. They've had 24/7 worship and prayer just by churches taking one day a month. I think there's several thousand people in about 100 churches now that are doing that. And why can't they do that here? You know, Clark County in here in Vancouver has got about 15 churches committed right now. Down in Milwaukee, Ed Grant, they've got a couple churches committed. Why can't we do that? We've got enough churches here in Portland. Why can't we just take one day a month? That's your day. The third Thursday or the fourth Friday or whatever, and you pray and fast for the city that day. So that's a simple strategy.
Yes.
So adopting a street, adopting a cop, prayer walking, you know, one church taking one day, all of this is what God wants to happen. Because when we agree with Him and we agree with Him with what He's showing us as we're prayer walking or as we're praying that day, or we're loving on a police officer, you know, just praying for his family or giving him protection. God gives us intel. He gives us strategies. He gives us ideas on how to serve. And then all of a sudden, because we're serving, whoa, that opens up the door for a conversation. And all of a sudden, this person's saying, why are you doing this? And, oh, I love Jesus. Well, I want to know him. Who is he? You know? And so there's all kinds of stuff that can happen if we just start to pray. And that's what serving our neighbors is all about, and what I've been working on for about since 1999, in bringing people together to collaborate together, bringing leaders together, is around that idea of prayer and service, and then really caring and sharing. Because when people ask you a question about your faith, all you got to do is answer the question. It's a lot easier than trying to knock them over the head with a Bible.
I did that, though. Not so much the knock over the head, but I was in a Mexican shop to fix my car,
yep.
And there was a Sangra Biblia there, Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened up to John 3:16 because I knew John 3:16.
Yeah.
And it was actually in yellow. It was
highlighted.
And so I said, hey, I can read this to you here. And he said, oh, your pronunciation is very good. He says, well, it's Spanish, you know, you just read what it says, and that's... Because I knew a man that had gone to Mexico, and he did that with a Spanish-English Bible.
Ah.
He knew what he wanted to say, so he just said it in Spanish.
Perfect.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of ways that people can join us. We do have a website that's dedicated to this, in addition to our ministry website called servingourneighbors.org. We put together a website about a year ago called PDX Praise. PDX for Portland, Praise, P-R-A-Y-S. Not praise as in worship, pdxpraise.com. And that gives you a website where you can look and see what we're doing. There's information there, who's involved. There's different prayer groups that are highlighted, when those prayer groups are meeting, if they're open to the public, the different prayer targets that we're praying for, stories of prayers, praise reports. And then on the events page is a listing of all the different events that we've got going and the ones that we've had in the past. You can actually go and click on and listen to Henry Gruber talking about prayer walking. Hmm. You can go and listen to Doug Shetty and I, as well as Steve Trujillo, teaching about prayer and what God's doing. And so all of those past meetings have been recorded, and they're available there on the events page. And then there's some prayer resources that are available.
That's pdxpraise.org?
Yep. pdxpraise.org or .com, both of those go to that.
Both go, okay.
Yep, so that's a great website.
Great.
And we've got a Facebook page for that as well, PDX Praise. And it's all focused on really garnering and building up and creating more prayer. You know, city-focused, gospel-centered prayer. And the fun thing right on the front part of there is that you can click on Are You Praying for Our City? And there's a map that comes up that where you can see, you know, not what's happening, but where you're at, how, and there's all kinds of crime statistics and all kinds of other things that's provided by the city and the state that you can, that's like a prayer list. And that's a really cool resource. And then there's some very specific events that are coming up that we want to pray and talk about that we're actually preparing the ground for. We're preparing the atmosphere for. We're really asking God to move mightily. We just had a Clark County prayer breakfast this past Friday at the Hilton Hotel. About 500 people came out, and a guy named Eldred Bouchard shared his story. The theme was, you are the answer to someone's prayer. And so that was a great event. It's the 14th annual event. We'll have another one next year, I'm sure. It's a lot of work, but I think God's going to do some amazing things. And then coming up, not this month of November, but coming up in December, we've got a special guest coming to town, Ambassador Andrew Young. He's the former mayor of Atlanta.
Wasn't he part of the UN also?
He may be. I'm not sure all of his background. I know he was under the Jimmy Carter administration. He worked directly with Dr. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King in the civil rights movement. And he, like I said, he's mayor of Atlanta for two times. He served Congress as a U.S. representative from Georgia, and I grew up in Georgia.
Yeah.
And he was a U.S. ambassador to the United Nations under President Carter. So, yeah, mm-hmm. just an amazing man. He's going to be sharing, and that will be a very special Christmas luncheon that's put on by the Portland Business Luncheon. It's their 29th annual Christmas luncheon, and it's at the Convention Center. So that's on that Thursday, December the 17th. So we'll have prayer teams praying for that. The website for that is just pdxlunch.com, pdxlunch.com, and you can get all the details. This is another organization-type ministry thing that pulls people together to do luncheons and share their faith, and it's partnering with the Christian Chamber of Commerce. So that'll be coming up. And then after the first of the year, we're working on a couple things. Coming up in January, we always have Mission Connection. That's a big event. That'll be back out at
awesome.
Sunset Presbyterian Church. So that'll be a huge focus for January. This is always the third weekend in January. I don't remember exactly who the speakers are, but it's just missionconnection.com or .org, I think. And it's, you spell connection with an X. And so that's there coming up. And then after that, we have... what's going to be taking place in the middle of March is the World's Coming to Portland. 600 athletes from 200 nations from around the world are going to be coming for the indoor championship games, track and field. And so this is put on by Tracktown out of Eugene. And out of all the places in America and all the places in the world, their annual competition decided to take place here in Portland. And so that's going to be the middle of the March the 17th through the 20th. And you can go to Portland2016.com and find out more information and how to get tickets. But what we're encouraging people to do is just volunteer. Volunteer at this Portland Games so that you can be there to share your faith with people as they ask questions and just love on people. And so that's our hope and prayer, is that people will do that. And we'll be talking more about that as we go forward in the coming months. And then at the end of March, we have the Portland Good Friday breakfast, and we'll have prayer teams for that. Eldred Bouchard will again be sharing his testimony of growing up and his challenges with life. He was in the his dad was a very famous basketball player, and then he moved up into Oregon and became a part of a Christian cult, and then he watched his sister die in front of him. And then he got shipped off to the foster care system and then went into the correctional system. And then God totally changed his life, and just amazing testimony. And so he'll be our keynote speaker for the Portland Good Friday breakfast. That's on Friday, March the 25th. Okay. Friday, March the 25th. And so I'm coordinating that this year and putting that together with all these other business partners and ministries. And you can go to PortlandGoodFridayBreakfast.org, PortlandGoodFridayBreakfast.org for more information about that.
And I was at his wedding.
Oh, okay.
He looked littler at the wedding, but I think it's the same guy. It was about 12 years ago.
Could have been.
And I knew his father, mm-hmm. and it It's a great story of transformation.
Yep. So he'll be sharing there for the Good Friday Breakfast. And what we're really wanting to see, we have about 1,000 people that come out to the convention center for this event, and we could easily have 1,500 or 2,000. What we'd really like to see is churches and believers bring people who don't know God to this event. Let this be an outreach to your friends and neighbors. As you've been prayer walking, as you've been reaching out, invite them, buy a ticket for them, come hear this guy share his testimony. It's going to be a totally evangelistic message where he's going to share in a way and then actually ask people to make a commitment to God that day. And we'll have people that we need also to be there praying and to pray with people and to respond to the people that come. And we'd really like to see this be an annual event. Every year. It is the 10th annual Portland Good Friday Breakfast, but we'd like to see it dig to the level where this is the one time where you can bring people who don't know God or who are looking and considering to an event where they know they're going to hear a clear gospel presentation and they can make a decision. And it's a high-profile, really lots of fun and high-polished events put together by our friends at Spirit Media. They do an awesome job in putting all that together. So, again, these are some very key things that are happening that we'd like to focus in on, and we'll be promoting those as we go forward. But that's why, in addition to life-changing and a thriving community and us seeing, you know, God's abundance everywhere, which is the vision of the Christian Chamber of Commerce that I work with, we know that it's going to take very intentional prayer to make that happen. And so that's where you come in. We need everybody on board.
Yay.
Okay, well, we'll be having plenty of prayer, and hopefully I have something to comment about Portland's earlier revival, but before I say that, which I'll gloss over very quickly, but just some amazing things, would you be sending them to the website to get all that information? Is that all there?
Yeah, we'll have that highlighted either on servingourneighbors.org or pdxpraise.com.
Okay.
We also have the christianchambernorthwest.com. There'll be lots of places there where they can highlight that. And I'll be promoting. If you will like the Facebook page for KKPZ Radio, I have access to that. Like this today's show, I was able to post that out and push that out. Anytime there's events like this coming up, we really rely upon, you know, Facebook and social media to get the word out. So kind of watch that and be a part of that, and you'll know what's happening.
Good. Yes, well, I'll just tell you snippets that I have heard about what happened in Portland in 1905, and what God's going to do now is going to be even more awesome and different. But what happened then is you had also a great convention that came to Portland called the Exposition, Portland Exposition, and 500,000 people came to the Exposition to visit. But over 500,000 people came to Portland to visit what God was doing in Portland through the revival. And it was very difficult for people to travel in those days. It wasn't so easy. And for 15 years, that continued. And one of the salient parts of it was they would, most of Portland, all the businesses would take 2 hours off. I guess they were convinced that they could probably fit everything into 6 hours instead of 8 hours shopping. And that'll give us time to pray, and we can pray for each other in our city. And I thought that was just so awesome. Can you imagine that happening today? I mean, I guess if they all agreed that it was important. But, you know, it's certainly a city in great need, and it's a city that has so much going for it. And there's a song that goes, and you love these city, this you love this city, and you love these streets. And that's kind of how I think about it when I'm walking on the streets of Portland. Yeah. And praying for it on Saturday morning, which you might want to mention again, too.
Yeah, if you want to join us for a prayer walk, we have lots of fun at 7 a.m. every Saturday morning. We meet at Pioneer Courthouse Square, right there where the man is holding the umbrella, the statue. And so we'll be there at 7 to about 7:15, and then we'll go in prayer walk, and then we'll go and grab something to eat afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. It's a fun time. So God is good, and He is on the throne, and He's waiting for us to really partner with Him and to connect with Him and to serve Him and to be the outreach that He wants us to be. Because, guys, there's people dying around us all day, all the time. Yeah. I mean, they're living in hell and don't necessarily have to go there. Their life is horrible.
Yeah.
And He wants all of us to share the abundant life that we have to be a light and to let people get to the point to where they're curious and hungry for more.
Yes.
And it's up to us to bring that. So it's very important that we do our part, and that we're living that life. I mean, that's the other thing that we talk about in the Christian Chamber a lot, is that we need to get to a place where we're operating in the abundant life, and we have life happening in a community where the things that we're dealing with in our life, we can share with our brothers. A friend of mine, Ford Taylor, says quite often, he says, you know, if you want forgiveness, ask God, because he forgives. But if you want healing, you got to confess it to your brother, because it says in James, confess your sins one to another, the things that you mess up on, so that you can be healed. And that's really where healing comes, is where you get this stuff out and you live that life, and you have people around you to live that life, and you can demonstrate the abundance that God has for all of us.
Yeah, it's meant to be in community. It's kind of hard to do it all on your own, but we have a great community here, and James has given us so many options and of things to do, and there's some wonderful churches. Hannah just went to a church where there were some young people in our remaining 30 seconds here, and it was just awesome seeing the excitement and the freshness of the youth that was happening. There's another church there, but it was totally different. It was called Jesus Burger, because they're giving away 150 hamburgers every week. But that's just one of so many ways to serve the Lord. Yeah. So, Lord, I just pray that you would do it again, but do it the way you want to do it, and all glory would go to you as you do a great work in Portland that can go beyond to all the cities of the nations as a beginning.
Yes, Lord.
You've been listening to One in the Sun with James and Hannah Hubbard of the Portland Church Connection. If you don't have a church home, we welcome you to fellowship with us on Sundays at 1 p.m. at our clubhouse located at 16745 Southeast Division in Portland. Also, you're welcome to join us on our first Friday Shabbat meeting, and you can utilize our video, DVD, and book lending library. Write to us at 2000 Northeast 42nd Avenue, number 129, Portland, Oregon, 97213. Or you can email hhumbert@hotmail.com. That's hhumbert@hotmail.com. Or call us at 503-380-4595. That's 503-380-4595. Remember, together we are one in the sun.